Good morning, and I welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us. We're going through the book of Psalms, and this morning I want to look at one of the most well-known psalms, and that is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my Shepherd." I'm glad that you're with us, and I hope that our Bible study this morning will be encouraging to you. And I want to begin by asking the question, who guides you in life, or what guides you in life? This is a fundamental question. It's very important. And we see all kinds of problems today in the world because people are allowing themselves to be guided by the wrong person or the wrong thing. Guidance is a very fundamental issue that we need to talk about. Who gives us direction? What direction are we going? And is it in a good direction or a bad direction? And who is providing that or what is providing that? Stop and think about that. We do what we do on a daily basis because we are being guided, influenced, directed in some way to do that. It's not random. It's not chance. It's not fate. We are making decisions to go down certain paths, good or bad, and who or what is influencing us to do that? Are we guided by ourselves, what we think and feel? Are we guided by what our friends are saying? Are we guided by social media? Are we guided by professors at school, books we read online, or traditional books? What information is guiding us? What principles, ideologies? Who or what? And it doesn't have to be a person. It can be a thing. It can be money. It can be a job. It can be material possessions, a car, a house, a boat. What is guiding us? Who is guiding us? Psalm 23, one of the most well-known psalms, often quoted. It's on refrigerator magnets. It's on plaques. It's on greeting cards. It's on church signs. It's read at funerals. It's everywhere. And yet, in some cases, it's nowhere. It's everywhere in the sense that the message is everywhere, and yet people are not allowing the Lord to guide them, to shepherd them. I find it interesting that it's a very popular psalm, and yet it's a very unpopular concept. We don't want the Lord guiding us. We want to do our own thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, is the summary of the book of Judges. We're just going to do what we think and feel and what we want, and we see the world around us in so much trouble as a result of that. Let's get back to the Lord guiding us. And that's not with just some better felt than told feeling in my heart, but the Lord guiding us through Scripture, through His revealed will in the Bible. Let's look at this great psalm. Of course, Psalm 23 is attributed to David. We know that David himself was a shepherd in his family, the youngest of the sons of Jesse, and he guided the sheep. We're told that in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. He was a shepherd himself, and so he's actually writing about some things that involve God, but coming from his own personal life, knowing what a shepherd does in feeding the sheep and guiding the sheep, leading the sheep, protecting the sheep, all of these kinds of things he had experienced in his youth, and now he's writing about it later in life and applying it to God being a shepherd. Let's read this well-known psalm and let's talk about the need to let God guide us today. And then we will look at some of the main principles in this psalm, and then later in the lesson this morning, we will see how that applies to Jesus, the great shepherd today. Is Jesus guiding your life? David writes, "The Lord," or Jehovah, "is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forevermore. The great Psalm 23. This psalm can be outlined into three sections of two verses apiece. Verses 1 and 2, the provision that comes from the shepherd. Verses 3 and 4, the direction that comes from the shepherd. And verses 5 and 6, the communion that comes from the shepherd. In verses 1 and 2, the shepherd is my caregiver. He's going to provide for me. In verses 3 and 4, the shepherd is my guide. He's going to direct me. And in verses 5 and 6, the shepherd is my host. He's going to provide a table of blessing, a communion. Let's see how this unfolds. Friends, who is your guide? Who is providing for you? Who is directing you? Who is giving you the information that you need to live a godly life? It needs to come from the Lord. We need to get our Bibles open, and we need to let the Lord guide us through His Word. We need to let Jesus be our shepherd. So David begins in Psalm 23 and verse 1, Jehovah is my shepherd. A shepherd guides sheep. Sheep are animals that need protection. They are not animals like a lion, for example, that can do pretty well protecting itself, fighting back with strong jaw teeth, and or a bear. It's an animal that is more defenseless. It's also an animal that needs guidance. And so people are described in Scripture as sheep, both in the Old and New Testament. And Jehovah is my shepherd. Who is guiding you? David says, I shall not want. The English word want here is not used in the sense of what I wish or desire or I would like to have. It's the English word want in the sense of lacking something. I will not be lacking. I will not be lacking in all that is good in my life when the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say everything that I want materially, money and things, but that which is good for me and best for me, I will never be lacking in that. There may be times when I don't have as much money as I would like. There might be times when people lose a job. People have health problems. We've had a recent tornado go through Clarksville about a month ago, and people lose their homes. And some people lose their lives. But when we're talking about that which is best for us, that which is good for us, that's that which is absolutely essential to our needs, God will not allow us to lack in any of those things if we let Him be our God. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord is going to provide for me. The green pastures, of course, where the sheep eat, and the still waters. These are waters that are peaceful and calm. They're not rushing violently down a fast stream or river that might scare the sheep, but the sheep can get right up to the water and drink from it because it's a peaceful setting. God is going to provide all of my spiritual and physical needs that I absolutely have to have. I'm not going to lack in any of them. He's going to make sure that I'm fed like sheep are fed and something to drink. The Lord is going to provide. And the greatest provision is that of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for the remission of our sins. If we will obey His gospel, we can have that great provision of salvation. Verse 3, He restores my soul. We had a recent psalm when we looked at Psalm 19, that the law of the Lord is what God uses to restore our soul. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. One thing that God uses to restore us is His law, His word. Some people need to be restored from sin. Some people need to be restored from depression. Some people need to be restored from loss, being down and out, problems in their life, to be restored to a wholesome relationship. And God can do that. He can restore marriages. He can restore parents and children relationships, family relationships, other relationships that need mending and restoration. The Lord can do that, but we've got to let Him be our guide. And then in verse 3, He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Look at that. I can be right with God. I can live a righteous life. I can have sin removed from my life, but I've got to let God guide me in the paths, the ways of righteousness. And those ways are what is described in His Word. He tells us in His Word what is right, not what society votes on, not what lawmakers vote on. Well, if we say it's a law that abortion is okay, that doesn't make it right. If we say, well, there's a law now that allows homosexual marriages, that doesn't make it right. The paths of righteousness are found in God's Word, not man's laws. Now, years ago, man's laws matched up with God's laws for the most part. But we're seeing a diverging and a separating of those two things as time goes on, unfortunately. But we can be guided in paths of righteousness, and it's for the Lord's sake. It's to His glory and honor. Then look at verses 4 and 5. This is something very important. When we let God guide us, that doesn't mean that we're going to live a life that doesn't have any trouble at all. We don't have to face any death. We don't have to face any enemies. We don't have to face any problems. There are going to be normal, everyday problems and life circumstances to Christians, just like everybody else. But God will help us through those times. Notice in verse 4 and 5 that David talks about death and enemies. We're not exempt from that. When we let God guide us, there's going to be death, there's going to be enemies, there's going to be other problems. But God will help us through that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Whether David is talking about something going on in his life where he is facing something and being put at the point of death, we know that David was on the run from Saul, 1 Samuel 18, all the way through the end of the book. And people were after him, and people were trying to kill him. Saul threw a spear at him. And there are going to be times when David is facing the prospect of death. And of course, we certainly face that at the end of our life. But whether he's talking about in his life or at the end of his life, he doesn't have to fear. He doesn't have to fear death. God is with him, implying that God will be with him even after he dies. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was the shorter club, almost like a baseball bat. The staff was a longer pole that was used for walking, and sometimes it had a crook neck on the end that you could gently grab around the neck of a sheep or a lamb and bring them back. But the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Even in difficult times such as death, David could face that in a comforting and a consoling way, knowing that he was right with God and would live on and be with God after death. It wasn't something that had to be faced with turmoil and dread and fear. And then when David had enemies, God would help with that. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Saul and others were his enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. This idea of a table and anointing with oil and a cup running over is a figure of hospitality. Somebody providing a nice meal, something to drink, something where your head was anointed with oil. We would talk about today taking a bath and putting on perfume or cleaning up. Oil was used in that way. These are symbols of hospitality and blessing and refreshment, even in the face of enemies. So it's very important to know that when God guides us, that we're going to have a normal life that has challenging and difficult and problems in it, but God will help us get through that. And then last of all, in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you want a life of goodness, a good life? Look back over, I had a good life. It's going to be when I let the Lord guide me. It's not going to be when I'm just trying to wing it every day, doing my own thing. This is where there's problems. Drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, debt, fighting, spouse abuse, other kinds of abuse, incarceration, jail, prison, physically hurting our bodies with drugs and other kinds of things. There's all kinds of problems in life. Physical, mental, emotional, when we don't let God guide us. But when we let Him guide us, it is goodness and loving kindness all the days of my life. And we would do well to get after that right now, because we would have more days of goodness. We would have more days of goodness and loving kindness if we would get after following God right now and letting Him guide us. Our life will be a lot better, however long that's going to be, the rest of our life. And I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. In both the Old and New Testament, the house of the Lord is a reference to His people, and it's also a place where you go to worship God, starting with the tabernacle, later in the temple. In the New Testament, the house of the Lord is the church. So a place you can be, an assembly you can be in to worship God and to be a part of God's people themselves. And that's the place to be, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to be among His people and to be worshiping Him on those authorized occasions to do that is a great blessing. But you've got to let the Lord be your guide. Friends, this is very important. Don't let Psalm 23 simply be a message on a magnet on your refrigerator. It's not just simply a plaque or a doily or macrame or some sort of quilting message or a card that sits on a shelf. Let it be a reality. It's not just a bookmarker. It's a reality that the Lord is going to be my shepherd. He's actually going to guide me each and every day. Let that be what it is. Not the popularized religious message, just some token message that doesn't really mean anything that a lot of people say all the time. I've heard it at many funerals. It's perfectly fine to use it there. I've used it at funerals before, but it's become, in many places, I fear, just empty words. Let the Lord really be our shepherd and our guide. I want to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about how that Jesus today is our shepherd and guide. And of course, there's a few places in the Old Testament where Jehovah is connected with Jesus. But Jesus is our shepherd. This was actually prophesied in the Old Testament. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, in Ezekiel chapter 34, there was going to come a time when God would rule and reign over his people with one shepherd, and that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 34, verse 23, the Lord says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, Jehovah, have spoken it. One shepherd, not two, not three, not four, but one shepherd. And so when we come to the New Testament, we find that that's fulfilled in several passages that I would like for us to consider before we close. One is in John chapter 10, where Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and we need to follow him. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that enters in not by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. But when he has put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus therefore said unto them, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief comes not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, it goes on to talk about other characteristics of Jesus being the shepherd and his disciples, his followers, being the sheep. And that's what we need to be today. He is both the door, the access to salvation, and the shepherd, the guide to that salvation. So, Jesus is that one shepherd, the fulfillment of that Ezekiel 34 prophecy. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, his disciples scattered and ran away. Matthew chapter 26, 31, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. This is a fulfillment, and it's a reference to the prophecy in Zechariah 13, verse 7. So here's another allusion to Jesus being the shepherd. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is a shepherd at the end of time in the judgment day. The Son of Man shall come in his glory and the angels with him. Then shall he sit on the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. You and I are going to be there, friends. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Those on the right hand are blessed and they can come and be in heaven. Those on the left hand are cursed, and they are going to be in eternal punishment. Some will go away into eternal punishment. Others will go away into eternal life. Where will you be when that great separation of the shepherd takes place? Will you be among the sheep that follow the shepherd, or among the goats that do not? You can say, friend, well, I'm not going to let Jesus be my shepherd. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you certainly have that free will. And that's what many people in the world today are doing. But in the judgment day, you're going to be on the wrong side. And so we need to be among the sheep. And in the New Testament church, the flock of God, the sheep, are the church that belongs to Christ. They are the flock that are following the shepherd. So it shows up in Matthew 25. It shows up in Matthew 26. It shows up in John chapter 10. He is the good shepherd. It shows up again in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34 when Jesus was looking out over the crowds. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he wanted to have compassion on them and help them. And so he fed them and he taught them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, Mark 6:34. He came to guide and to nourish and to provide and to protect, all the things that a shepherd does for sheep. Turn with me to 1 Peter. There's a couple of places in 1 Peter that I want to look at. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He's not going to force you, friends, to be a part of his flock. You choose to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You choose to become one of his sheep. You choose to become one of his flock. He's not going to force you. Let's do that before it's too late. Let's use his word, the New Testament scriptures, to guide us. A shepherd guides, his word will guide. A shepherd provides food and drink, his word will provide that spiritual nourishment that we need. A shepherd protects from the bear and the lion and any animal that is going to harm the sheep, or any natural piece out in the earth, a crack or a crag or a hill or a ledge. The shepherd is going to keep the sheep away from things that are going to be hurtful and harmful. The same way with Christ's words, they will protect us from the evil one. But we've got to let Jesus do that. Peter is talking about Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. You were going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, when Peter is talking about the elders, they're described as shepherds as well. We don't have time this morning to go into that, but when we are members of a local church, there are men, elders, who are shepherds. They tend the flock, but they are underneath, 1 Peter 5:4, the chief shepherd, Jesus, who shall be manifest, and you shall receive the crown of glory that fades not away. He is the chief shepherd, and we've got to let him guide us all the way to heaven. And then one last passage in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will. We have Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Friends, when you hear or read that well-known passage, "The Lord is my shepherd," say, "The Lord, Jesus, is my shepherd. God's going to guide me, Jesus is going to guide me, and I'm going to be a part of his sheep today." If we can help you to do that, please contact us. Let us let the Lord guide us all the way to heaven. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.